Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, Fairhaven. It is my honor and my joy to get to come and open God's Word with you today. And as I was standing there, I am just rethinking. The last time I was with you was at Christmas time, and today is March the 2nd. Crazy. We're trying to get to spring out there. But as I was standing here, I was thinking of all the places that I've got to enjoy wonderful worship since I was with you, and I was picturing all the churches that I've been, all singing, because their services start at 9 o'clock. And just for a moment, I was thinking about this little place in Sarasota, Florida, and this place in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, this place in Nashville, Tennessee, just some different churches I've been since I was with you. And I was picturing everybody singing and how God in heaven must look down and go, oh, my kids are worshiping me and loving me. And it was absolutely just a beautiful thought in my head. And so I bring you good news today that there are people all across the country worshiping the Lord God Almighty today. And I believe that brings a sweet fragrance to Him. And I'm so thankful you're here, and I pray you've come with just a worshipful heart. I want to tell you a couple of places that I've been, just because I think you would want to know this. I got to speak, I think at last time I was here, I spoke of this group called Promise Keepers way back in the day, which was thousands of men gathering around the country. Well, last month in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there was about 20,000 men got together to worship the Lord. That's the largest group of men I've seen together in many, many years. So I just wanted to report to you that God is at work. There's a great calling there for those men, and it was just really encouraging. And then my favorite place to preach in the world is actually in Cedar Springs, Michigan. There's a little church there that meets on Saturday night. It is broken, hurting, very poor people. If you walked into the church smells like weed. I absolutely love it. You walk in, it smells like weed. It has a really strong body odor, and the people there just straight up are worshiping Jesus and growing in the Lord and bringing their lives before the Lord. And it's my favorite place in all the world to preach. Sorry, it just is. And I tell preachers, if you go there and you can't preach there, you can't preach at all, because it's just an inviting place where people have nothing. And when you have nothing, you're thankful for anything the Lord does in your life. You would want to know, Meijer Grocery Store, for everybody who goes to that church on Saturday night, when they're done, they open up a big pantry and everybody gets free food because they can't afford their food. So it's just a beautiful setting. And I'm sharing all that with you for a reason. As I go to those places and as I see people fulfilling the purpose they have on the earth, are you doing that? Is there any place where you look at your life and say, you know, God has changed me, so I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be an example for Him. I'm not going to assume just because I'm at a beautiful church called Fairhaven. I drove by this church for years before I ever spoke here. And every time I would drive by, I would go, wow, that's a beautiful place. And now I have the privilege, thanks to Pastor Greg, of preaching here. What an honor for me. But I got to push you a little bit this morning and say to you, are you just here checking boxes, or do you come here because of what God's done in your life, and this is just your little huddle house so that you can go out there and be a witness for Him? Have you become complacent? Is church and Christianity easy for you? I have a friend right now, I was telling Pastor Greg about just before service, who the Lord is putting him in some environments right now to represent Jesus that are really risky, really dangerous. He's older than me, and God is putting him in some places that's really risky. And he's loving it. Like I said to him, you don't look fearful at all. He goes, loving it. Are you loving your faith? Could you do more for the Lord? This morning, that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to take you back to when Jesus was calling his first disciples and how it straight up rocked their world. Now, let me hasten to make a statement right here. Generally, when a preacher shares these kind of messages, those in the church, those who are attending, those who are watching online, who already are doing everything they know to do for the Lord, they're the ones who tend to hear this message the most. I want to just say something. I was with a guy when I did that event in Milwaukee. I had the privilege of speaking at that event with men in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A young man rode with me there, and he is straight up on fire for God. He looks for any chance he can. We stopped at a Love gas stop. He tried to witness to 50 people. He loves Jesus. And on the way back from the event, we're sitting in the car. I'm driving. He's sitting over in the passenger side. And he says to me, I just got to do more. And Dan, what can I do more? How can I do more? And I love his spirit. I love that. But I turned to him and I said, if I could give you a piece of advice, it would be chill a little bit. You're doing a lot for the Lord, and he sees your heart and knows your heart. So for those of you sitting in here who you just absolutely look for every opportunity, I hope you enjoy this message, and I hope you get something out of it. But can I just be real honest and say, today I'm going after lazy Christians. The one who doesn't even really share that you know Christ. I'm going to push you a little bit today. And I hope it makes you a little uncomfortable, not for my sake, but we need to be serious about what we believe in. Like, I want us to share our faith and love the Lord and desire him enough that the rest of these seats are full, because people want to know, not about Fairhaven. You're a church that teaches the Word of God. And that's why I love to be a part of the team. And today, we're going to verse by verse look at what the Word of God says about just being called to serve him. And so I'm going to bring the verse on the screen. I'm going to tell you what the verse means. I'm going to give you the historical context. And then I'm going to ask the Lord to speak into your heart. You need to know, I'm not trying to get you to change. I'm trying to get you to listen to what God would say to you. Could you be a better steward for Christ? For those of you who own a company, could you be a better steward of Christ, owning that company, of letting the people there know what you stand for, and that the blessing of having that company belongs to the Lord, not you? Could you, as a line worker that puts chicken in a dish, is there anybody on that line that just needs to know Christ better and your witness? Your example might someday result in them personally being in heaven. Do you ever stop at a gas station and you can tell the person that's there pumping the gas beside you doesn't have a lot, and maybe just your witness of saying, can I cover this gas for you? I mean, I'm blessed. You ever think about helping the others? I'm just asking, do you activate this thing we call faith? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So in the story, we're going to start with Luke chapter 5. If you want to turn in your word, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We're literally going to go through it verse by verse. And here's the first verse coming up on the screen. And it says this, one day. I want to stop right there. One day. It doesn't say, and on a highlighted first day of Passover. Nope, it's just one day. Meaning, as they were doing life. Most of us, Lord, use me on Easter. Lord, Christmas. No. March 2nd. March 3rd. What's the significance of that day? It's God's day. Belongs to him. You have the breath you have because he gave it to you. One day. Today. As Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. We know that as the Sea of Galilee. If you went there and saw it, and some of you have, it looks like a really big lake. So it got the name Lake. But Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee, a place where many, many miracles occurred. This is a very historical lake. And Jesus is there standing by the lake, and the people are crowded around him listening to the Word of God. If Christ came in here today and walked up on stage and began to speak, you would go, This man speaks with authority. There's something different about him. When Jesus began to talk, do you see what it says? Crowds started circling. If I went outside and stood on the street corner and started talking, I might could convince my family to come stand around, but there wouldn't be crowds. Jesus spoke with God's authority. And when he spoke, everybody wanted to hear him. If we announced, if he spoke here this morning and Pastor Greg said, hey, we're having Jesus come back at 6 o'clock tonight, we would not be able to have enough room for everybody who shows up. And that's what's happening in this scene. When Jesus starts talking, just beginning his ministry, this is not like he's way into it and done thousands of miracles. This is toward the beginning. And people already are showing up in crowds. Verse 2, he saw at the water's edge. So let's just be standing by the water here with him. Crowd starts coming. He sees it coming. And he saw by the water's edge two boats. And he begins to go in his mind, you know what? A couple fishermen left their boats here. They were washing their nets here. I can use these boats. But let me explain that. The fishing that occurred there would have been at night. They didn't fish a lot during the day on the Sea of Galilee because at night the warm waters would come in, push the fish more toward the edge, and they'd go out, throw their nets in at night. And so during the day, they washed their nets. They wanted the nets to last as long as they could. If they just have them laying there, they'd kind of get worn out. So they kept them clean. They kept them fresh. That's what's happening. What day? One day. Normal routine. Fishermen washing their nets, and there's two boats. Get the picture. Everyday life. What I'm trying to show you is Jesus wants to show up in your, what? Everyday life. Are you letting him? Have you done it in a while? Has anybody heard about Christ because you were just living for him one day? Next verse. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. Oh my. Y'all need to know he's setting Simon, who's about to be called Simon Peter. Christ renamed him. His name was Simon. Then we've heard Simon Peter. Then he just became Peter. Peter meaning rock. And remember, Jesus said to him, on this rock, I will build my church. Peter has no idea about what's going to happen here. He's just out hanging out with Jesus. No one's been called to be a disciple yet. They're just friends. Jesus says, Peter, that's your boat, right? Peter goes, yeah, that's my boat. Let's get in there and push me out into the water a little bit, away from the shore. We all know why. There were no mics. What a blessing this morning I have a mic. Otherwise, I would be screaming for you to hear me. I can whisper. You can hear me. Jesus used the mic system of the day. Y'all all know it, water. He got Peter to push him out in the boat, and then he could just talk. And everybody on the shore, no matter how wide it got, they could hear him if everybody was really quiet. That's what's happening. Jane and I have a little place out at Sandy Pines. It happens to be in a little cove area, and there's water there, and we have a little deck we sit on, and we can hear sometimes in the evening. It's like a no-wake zone. It's really quiet. Boats have to go through really slow through that little area. We can hear people in the boats. It's hilarious. It's about to happen. I'm hoping really soon. Come on, spring. So we're out there sitting in our little deck at Sandy Pines, and we'll see a boat go by, and then we'll see the couple. They'll have friends with them go, that's Dan and Jane Seaborn. Dan and Jane Seaborn, that's where they live, right there. They're pointing our place, and I want to go. I can hear you over the water. Be careful. And then Jane always says to me, you be careful too, because I tend to talk back. And that's what Jesus was doing. Just using the water to spread the word. That's all that's happening. I mean, way bigger stuff's about to happen, but that's all that's happening just on this one day. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Because just like I'm teaching today, all of you can hear me comfortably because the message is spreading. That's what he did. Next verse. when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Very confusing. Very weird. Not normal. We read it and go, why is that so odd? This is crazy odd. This is crazy odd. You don't do that during the day. And Peter, we're about to see in the next verse, Peter's playing in his mind going, Jesus knows that I've been fishing and getting nothing. And now he's telling me to push a little further out and drop down the nets. This makes no sense. Like for some of you in here, you've had a calling that you've grappled with, but you've said to yourself, not me. Now, there was something that was brought up. Pastor Greg, Pastor Lori preached about something, invited you to do something, a missions trip, a this, a that, or a give to this, a support that, be a part of this. They don't understand. This makes no sense for me. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I can't do this. Let me take you back to when I first felt called to be a preacher. I may have shared with you that when I first felt that calling, I went to Jane and I said to her, I feel like the Lord is calling me to be a preacher. And her literal first sentence, we were laughing in the car about it yesterday, she literally said to me, you can't speak. And I went, I know, because I limited God. I decided I wasn't equipped. I did. And you serve a God who has no limits. Like, you don't have any talent? He goes, perfect, I'll give you one. He decides, not you. Age-wise, you may go in, I would have appreciated this message when I'm 30. Dan, I'm 70. Ask Abraham and Sarah about babies. 80? God is not limited. God does not go, you know what? You're right. You are pretty old. You are not very talented. Yeah, you would be uncomfortable in that setting. I forgot what you're like. No, he's your creator. Peter's rolling his eyes at Jesus, not right in front of him, but inside he's going, why is he asking me to do this? When he asked me to push the boat out, I thought he was talking about to try to, now he's gonna ask me to put the nets down. Why is he, it's during the day, and he knows I had a hard night last night. What's he doing this for? In fact, look at Peter's words. It might sound a little bit like some of your words. Peter said, next verse, Master, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. Last night, we were out there all night, zip, zero. Caught nothing. Key phrase, ready? But because you said so. But because you're Jesus, I'll do it. That's the spirit I would love to see you have this morning. Jesus, because you ask. I don't think it makes sense. I don't like it, doesn't add up. You gotta know I tried it once before, big failure. But because you ask, I'll give it a shot. Let me remind you of what he did for you. I just throw back to you, if somebody is willing, as Jesus was, to die for me, I'll give whatever you ask me to do, I'll give it a shot. To this day, I have that spirit and attitude. Sometimes I will say to Jane, we've been now in the Holland, Michigan area for many, many years, but we moved literally from the Carolinas. We left everything, left grandparents. And at the age I am now, I see now what my mom didn't get to enjoy with my kids. We got a little place at Sandy Pines. I just told you that. And I will look at Jane, and did it this week, and I'll say to her, babe, if the Lord calls us and says we got to go, could you give everything we have up and go? And she always says, absolutely. Because I don't want to be tied to anything in this world. I love this stuff. I enjoy it all. But I better not be tied to it. If he asks, I better be willing to say, because you say so. It's way bigger. The purpose of your life is way bigger than all the stuff. And you got to get that. And that's what keeps you willing to go. Then where's he going to send me? Maybe like across the street. For a few in the room today? For a few of you in the room today? You need to do what Peter's about to do. You need to submit and say, I am called. I've got to respond to it. Might be around the world. But for a couple here today, very likely the Lord has laid a calling on your heart and you've just always fought it. And today you need to say, Jesus, because you say so, I'll do it. Look what happened. Next verse. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So picture this, okay? These guys had fished all night and caught nothing. And now they just throw the nets out. And the fish are so plenteous that the nets are breaking. Now let me hasten to tell you what you're going to be surprised to hear. This whole story has nothing to do with fishing. It does, but it doesn't. You'll see what I mean. Like, if I was a fisherman, I'd be going, we loaded up. We're going to make a big sail. This is huge. Not even about that. I'll show you and prove it at the end. But to this point, right now, the fishermen are going, this is crazy. We were in it here last night and got nothing, and now we're killing it. And it kept increasing. Look at this. Next verse. So they signaled their partners in the other boat. Remember, there were two boats. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and helped them and filled both the boats so full that they began to sink. I mean, this is kind of shocking. This is a story you tell your grandkids. God, we had so many fish. It was unbelievable. There were fish falling over the sides of that boat. The water was this close. This is a Seinfeld episode waiting to happen. Kramer and George telling this would be unbelievable. And that's what's going on here. Just what day was it? One day. Just a regular old day. Like you're about to have a regular old day where God's going to go, oh, you're going to go with me now? You're going to do this? This uncomfortable thing? Wow. I'm going to bless you. It might not go exactly as you're planning, but I'm here. And this starts happening. And I think probably everybody in both boats is going, this is crazy. And then, I love this. The sentence, like in 2025, doesn't make sense, but after I interpret what he was saying, it will make sense. Peter said this, next verse. Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. We look at it and we go, no. Don't tell Jesus. That makes no sense in our culture, what we would say. So let me tell you what he was saying there. I can't believe I second-guessed you. I am so sorry, Jesus. Will you please forgive me? For a second, I forgot who you are. You ever do that? You ever forget who you serve? Do you forget what? Like right now, some of you are dealing with a family issue. Can I just remind you, don't forget who you serve. I've been in some pickles. He has a way. He has a plan. And Simon's basically saying to him, Lord, what is it about me? I hang out with you every stinking day, and I still forget who you are. And somebody, Lord, I've been going to church for 30 years, and I forgot who you were Tuesday. What is that about us? Humans, humanity, life. And Simon is saying to the Lord, my bad, gracious, you're amazing. And again, it's not even about fishing. The next couple of verses highlight that. Go ahead and throw them up. The next couple of verses, all of his companions were astonished, the catch of fish they had taken, keep going. Then it's James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. They're all just there going, wow, unreal. Then Jesus said to them, odd word. Don't be afraid. Afraid of what? Not afraid. We're not going to sink. Don't be afraid. What do you mean, don't be afraid? What are you about to say to me? Because today, some of you are not doing the thing that maybe the Lord is laying on your heart. You're afraid. Afraid you'll have to give something up. Afraid you'll be uncomfortable. Fear grips us, doesn't it? We live in a culture of fear. The media plays off us all the time on our fear. Fear gets clicks. Peace doesn't get clicks on the internet. If you want to know what gets clicks, fear. The enemy loves to play on our fear. Loves to remind us, you're not good enough. Jesus, before he even says what he's about to say, he starts with, don't be afraid. In other words, I'm about to drop something on you. And I need you not be fearful of what I'm about to say. And then he says, from now on, you will fish for people. There are no disciples yet. Do you think for a second Peter goes, you mean like we're going to throw nets in the water and there's people under there we don't know about? I don't think Peter fully realized this. Yeah, I don't know if you realize how Peter died. I mean, he's about to watch Jesus die not long later. And then he's actually going to be crucified upside down. He doesn't get all that in the boat right now, okay? All he hears Jesus say is, I want you to do something for me. You know, he asked him to drop the nets out because he was testing to see, can you do a little thing? Because I'm about to ask you to do a big thing. And I just wanted to see if you could be obedient in the little fish net thing before I call you to fish for people. Your thing that the Lord has laid on your heart to do for him, you say, Dan, it's really small. Maybe he's checking on obedience. You ever had a child where you said to him, hey, do this for me, because you're about to ask them something bigger and you wanted to see if they do the little thing? Hey, pick that up, will you? Pick it up. Because I'm going to ask you to do something bigger, but I just need to make sure you're obedient. Jesus, story's not about fishing for fish. He was testing the waters to see if Peter would fish for people. And I want you to see what happened. The next verse says, I'm going to read this verse really slow because I want you to get your mind around it. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything. Whoa. These two boats are full of fish. Full of fish. It says they left everything and followed him. Peter owns that boat. That's his living. He owns the nets that he was washing. This is his life investment. And he goes, I'm walking away from it because I got a bigger purpose. Let me read the verse again. So they pull their boats up on the shore, left everything. Family. Peter left the security of family. He left the security of friends. He had some new disciple friends, but his old friends he hung out with. He left comfortableness. He left the occupation he had grown into, and he followed. And like I say, there's probably three or four today that needs to leave everything. But all of us need to, inside, make sure we're not attached to anything. And I'm just telling you, in West Michigan, it's really easy to get attached. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. And I want to pass all this to my grandkids. No, what you want to pass to your grandkids is a willingness to serve Jesus all out. So I probably, in my 40 years of preaching, especially with Jane and I having left South Carolina and North Carolina to move here, to raise our family here, away from family, away from parents, I've probably had, definitely into the hundreds, I don't know how many hundreds, people call me and say, "Can I come talk to you? I'm feeling called to do this, to do that, to do the other." Some business owners who feel called to sell their business and do it. Other business owners who feel they need to be a better example of Jesus at their workplace and be more bold for Christ. Just all sorts of things people have been called, young to old. Boys, girls, women, men, all of it. I've had all of them. And they'll come, we'll sit down at a restaurant, let's just say. And they'll ask me, "How do I know? How do I know that it's for sure Jesus calling me, just not my idea?" And I'll tell you, first of all, if I could answer that and stick it in a bottle and put a lid on it, I'd go on Shark Tank and sell it. There's no easy answer. There's no perfect thing I could say to you for one grappling with something this morning that you're going, "I do feel a call. I do feel pushed to be more of a disciple of Christ. I do feel challenged to be more of a witness." And you're at a church that consistently teaches you that on a weekly basis. How do you know? And we prayed up here this morning and the team kind of laughed about something that I do in my life. They said it sounded kind of morbid, so here we go with a morbid thought. When I felt called to be a pastor, I'm going to tell you what happened. I was 28 years old, and I lived in South Carolina, and I was the financial director of a hospital. And here's what I did. I drove to a graveyard. Sounds morbid. Got it. I drove to a graveyard. I sat in the middle of the graveyard, and I looked around. And I thought, well, 26, 27, 28. I got many more years in my life, but I'm headed here. Someday I'll be here. When I get here, when my days on earth are done, so I sit in the car by myself and I ask myself this question: if I don't go and try to do what I feel the Lord is calling me to do, if I don't do that, when I get here and I am dead, will I look back at my life and have regret? And I sat in that car and I said to myself, "I will. I feel the Lord is calling me, and if I don't respond to it," I had a mother who was telling me, "Nope, your brother's the preacher. You're just doing it because you want to be like your brother." I had a wife who was saying to me, "You can't preach," and I agreed with her. She was right. I couldn't speak. And I sat in that car and I had to answer the question, "But if I get here and don't try, will I regret it?" And I had to say yes. So in my hundreds of meetings over the last 40 years, and I ask you this morning, the same as I ask somebody sitting in a restaurant with me, if you don't try to do what you have felt the Lord place on your heart, will you die with regret? If you say yes to that, go try. I'll never look at my life and go, "Man, wish I wouldn't have tried." Nope. Might fail. I've done plenty of ministry things that failed. I've had ideas that I thought were the greatest idea in the world. Failed. But the calling. I could almost weep right now when I think about the fact that sitting in that graveyard, I didn't even know there was ever going to be a thing called winning at home that I get to be a part of. And we'd have 60 counselors touching lives all across West Michigan and beyond. And wow, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Can I fall at your feet and say, my bad, I couldn't see it? I pick on Lori sitting right here on the front row. Some point in her life, she had a calling and she had to ask herself the question, am I going to do it? Am I going to go preach? But what if, and she did it. I bet you she has no regret. I didn't ask her, but I bet she has no regret. Pastor Greg and Kath, there was a day y'all felt called. And you did it. Do you regret it? No. Do you hate some of the moments you had to live through? Yes. I'm with them. This is our calling. You have yours. It's not necessarily to preach. Two or three? Young people in here, I'm pushing hard on you. 50-year-old in here, Dan, I'm too old to preach. No. I'm 64. I'm still preaching. You got 14 years. What you gonna do with this? What you gonna do with this? I ask you to consider obeying the Lord.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.